Welcome to the Mucked Up My Self-Care podcast.
I'm Jill from New York.
And I'm Linda from Tasmania.
We are two moms from opposite sides of the world who are living, demonstrating, and helping moms across the world build their self-care asset bank.
Ready to dive in? Messy, interrupted, imperfect, and most of all, mucked up. Let's get going.
Sometimes it feels like we haven't seen each other for ages.
And even like
so much happens.
Recording in a little while. I feel like we like bulked up on recordings and now we're like, oh, here we go. We're recording again.
Yeah, I know. We had all other important stuff to do.
Well,
anyway, out of practice. You know where we start? Highs and lows.
Yay. You want to go first? You want me to go first?
Why don't you go first? I have an 11-year-old trying to install all sorts of computer things right now. So,
highs and lows. Let's see. We're going to start with a low, and that is, I think it's the melty of coming off of a holiday weekend and the dread of what entails for today and cleaning up this house after the mess of the holiday weekend. Yay. The entire house has just been like let go because we've all been home for 4 days already. And I just had no energy to clean up amidst all of the chaos that happened. So that's going to have to happen today during nap time and split it with a little bit of work and figure out where we're going to go. Because luckily he's back to school tomorrow, but I don't have the time tomorrow to do that because that opens up a whole day for work. So and as we're recording this, tomorrow is going to be our simple publishing time. So that means publishing blocks of formatting this book that I'm writing, and it's just going to be a messy day of melty. So there is no time for cleaning the house tomorrow. So it has to be done today. Yay. And then high, I think is, I think it's going to be that as we're recording this, the NAI book launch party is tonight for me, tomorrow morning for you, Linda. But I'm super excited because I get to join the published authors club of the My Sexy Business community.
Yeah, that's very exciting.
And yes, my chapter in the compilation for Holly Totten's book is out, and I'm super excited for that. And really, because that means my book is not far behind coming up in May. So,
no, not far behind at all.
It's me giddy. So, anyway, that's my highs and lows. For you,
goodness. I think a couple of things. Obviously, just coming off the back of an Easter weekend, it's pretty. There's quite a few highs that have been in there. We've had a pretty chilled out, relaxed sort of weekend. The kids had been off bike riding with friends and sleepovers and went to visit family and all that sort of stuff, which is nice. And just haven't really had a huge amount of plans, but still haven't just done nothing. So done adventures to the park and all that sort of stuff, which has been nice just to have it fairly carefree most of the time. My low in that would be just 9-year-old. I don't know if it's a hormone fluctuation at this around this age or testosterone outburst or just a lot of anxiety stuff, but he's really pushing a lot of buttons for me right now. Well, not just for me, but for the whole family. Yeah, he's just seems to be getting frustrated easily and therefore not necessarily remembering the skills that he has to deal with that a lot of the time. And he picks up a lot on the emotions of everyone around him. And, yeah, it's just been very challenging in many moments of tired boys or just generally making it through those moments of argy-bargy sibling. I want this toy, but I want this toy, but it's mine, mine, like all of that stuff. Yes. So, everybody needing me at once.
Oh, which is just an energy sex sometimes.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah.
Wow.
We'll get there.
It poses a question which leads us into our topic, but are you guys doing self-care together?
I think we are. Excuse me. I think we are. No, we're reading a big chapter book at the moment, sort of page by page together, even though he's been reading his books independently for years. So that's one form of doing that. We often take walks together if he needs to, or we did a heap of cleaning out the other day of our back porch area, which gave him the chance to just hose down a heap of leaves. And like hosing down stuff is actually quite quite good for lots of reasons.
Therapeutic, yeah.
It is. It's quite, yeah, quite satisfying. So, and we're eating good food. Like tonight we had a big seafood feast of prawns and mussels, and like there was a little bit of calamari in there, and like all this seafood, like really good food and rice, and like, so minimize the chocolate over Easter. It didn't really get that much at all. Having fun times like Easter hunts, and there's still four chocolates in the house they haven't found yet. Can't remember what they're hidden. So they'll slowly appear. making sure that he's getting lots of time to think and reflect, and also things that he really enjoys, you know, like playing on Canva for an hour or so. So I feel like I'm trying to really find out what he does enjoy and what does feel that self-care asset back for him as well. Just seems like there's these moments that surprise him as well. Like if he's feeling like he's out of control, he doesn't know how to handle it. Mm-hmm. So, and if I feel like it's out of control, I can't imagine what's going on for him entirely either. So, yeah, tricky.
It is. It feels like the only way I can relate to it is like in the 2-year stage when they are going through tantrums and figuring out like emotions begin with, but they don't have the words, and now a 9-year-old has the words, but they know what the feelings are with the words to get it out the right way. And so it's like these stages almost of, I mean, even as adults, we don't know all the right words for what we're feeling. So
no, and he can express what he's feeling. It doesn't mean he necessarily feels safe in that.
Yeah.
It's my job as much more of the leadership role as a parent to help him through that. And just explaining it is not enough anymore. Mm-hmm. That works well in theory, but you need to be in a state where you can actually explain it first. And
yeah, not react to it.
Yeah. And I feel like we're fed this tiny little part of the puzzle on social media sometimes of get them to talk about feelings. Well, that's great, but if you've got someone who's strong physically and yelling and screaming and swearing, and there's a 1- and 3-year-old in the house as well that are getting the effects of that, or getting maybe pushed or that sort of thing, well, at some stage it's not just about just calm down and talk about your feelings. It's not helpful actually for him. It just feels quite patronizing or, unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it changes as they get older, I think. Yeah. And I've taught a lot of those skills early on. So he does have those skills. It's just in that moment he's taken over by this big emotion that he can name, but he doesn't necessarily he's scared of it. And just because he can explain it doesn't mean he's comfortable in it or knows all the time what to do. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Work in progress.
That's a good opportunity to teach them how we deal with things too. So, but we got to figure out how do we deal with those things.
Yes.
The right way in order to teach someone else to process them.
And it can be really hard to respond and not react.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know Quinn, who's three, had a really big tantrum about a week ago. He didn't want to sit down and eat his dinner at all. Like, he just really flat out refused. He wanted to keep watching TV. He was done. He was over it. He just completely, and he doesn't have he never really went through that two-year-old phase. We haven't had a lot of big tantrums like that. And so in that moment I was able to come down to him and just basically write it out. And felt a little bit like a high five moment because I was able to do that. It wasn't, no, you have to eat your dinner.
Right.
You have to eat your dinner. Yeah. It was, we worked through it and I just let him do it, most of it himself, by just being there and not really saying that much. So what have you done through your big tantrum moments?
That's what I do with Declan as best I can. Usually it's, you know, all right, I will sit here with you and need to sit in my lap and do it, go for it. Like, just go ahead, get your emotion out first, and then we'll talk it out. Like, because I get that way too. If I'm ready to scream and cry, I'm going to do that first before I process it, because sometimes my physical reaction to an emotion needs to come out first before my mental reaction to the emotion can really begin to process. And that's how I'm working, I can only assume that my offspring is going to work that way too. Whereas my husband might not. So it's a little bit confrontational when it comes to both of us trying to deal with the tantrum. Mm-hmm. But, you know, his method is to stop and move on to something else. I get that too. And I want him to do that, but sometimes he just needs to finish his thought. Which is
yes.
To be a scream. So go ahead and finish your thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then there's moments when we're really caught up in it. I'm trying to record a podcast or do something else at the same time.
And definitely not perfect. And I will explode too and react.
Had a lot of those moments where it's just, you feel like all your buttons have been pushed maybe that day.
And which then your reaction turns their tantrum into a reactive tantrum. And this whole big thing. And it's like, let's all just take a break and go in our own space and regroup.
Yes. Yeah. And it's hard for them to, I guess, take a little bit of the lead on that too. Because there's quite often times where they don't really know what's going on. Yeah.
I think, you know, we had a really good conversation the other day on Clubhouse, because we are talking about one of your topics, Linda, with the conversations and self-care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was a little eye-opening, actually a lot of eye-opening, because Bobby and I have different views on what self-care's definition is, like what self-care is to us. And I realized that we're both on the same page and both of us needing to go out and have self-care time.
Sure.
Our views of what that self-care could be or what's expected for it to be or the equality of it is different because we don't have the conversations about self-care. I haven't taught him that that's not self-care to me to go out and go drinking by myself like it is for him to go to a bar where he's comfortable and just likes to be alone and he gets to do his hobby of finding different beers to go drink. And that's great and fine and dandy for him, but that doesn't work for me. And he expects me to have a night by myself doing the same thing as my form of self-care. But we've talked about it and it doesn't work for me, but that's still where his mind is going because we don't have the conversation of like, well, these are the things that really work for me and what works for Declan. Like as I'm trying to start teaching him, well, you know, in the middle of a tantrum, let's stop and breathe because that's how we can get away from that, those heightened feelings to kind of bring us, our minds back to something. Cause that's what I would go do is go outside for a walk and go get myself grounded if I'm feeling like it's heated or go put myself in a room and just breathe for a few minutes if it can't go outside. So it really opened that conversation between us to start figuring these out and like, how are we going to teach not just our kids, but our spouses what self-care is for us and what it can be for them. So
does he call it self-care?
He doesn't normally, but I've been trying to instill it as like saying, oh, daddy's going out for his self-care night when Declan asks where he's going. Because in all reality, it really is. It's always been his time alone and that's self-care for him.
Yeah.
And he didn't really see it as that until I called it that way. And then he's like, I guess it really is self-care for me.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I think in this house, it's probably called more like the processing time or sometimes it's laying low time or like, I don't think I've ever heard the self-care word used specifically in the house. So that's interesting as well.
Trying to, because we're talking about it so much, because I am trying to instill certain things that we're doing as, you know, these are things that are self-care for me, use the word out loud more. Oh, that's a great self-care thing. Let's go do that together, Declan. And obviously Declan is who I spend the most time with and not my husband, unfortunately. So it comes up more around him than it does for Bobby. But I mean, yeah, they need it too. And if we're not calling it what it is for us out loud, then how do they know that that's something that they can do to take care of themselves as well?
And how do we teach them? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'd be interested to do a little bit of research around self-care for kids and see what's out there as suggestions or ideas or that sort of thing and whether there's anybody in that area who concentrates on that as well.
Yeah.
Be really interesting to think about.
Would.
Yep. Yep. Really interesting to think about. So. Yeah. All right. And now the 3-year-old is awake. No, I need to
hear my cat, but he's loud. Let's see. The back of that, Linda, we had even written down this note, but do you explain something that you recognize is self-care for them as a self-care practice? And I've been trying to do that with Declan and being, like I was just saying though, like if I'm going to be going to, I did it the other day. It was one of the really nice days that we had. Because it's the start of spring, finally, it feels like. And I went to go pick up the dog poop in the backyard and let Declan play. And I'm just like, you know what? Let me finish doing the dog poop before you and I play, because this is the form of self-care for me. And I just need to do this. And you can be by yourself playing. And that's a way of doing self-care time for you, Declan. And I tried to explain it that way and still interacting while we were both doing our things. You know, I'm just talking out loud pretend playing with him while he's running around me, pretend playing with whatever he's got going on. But that's what I've been trying to do on his. So he does recognize that that self-care is available. And that's why I was also saying with Bobby, like, if Bobby's going out to go do something by himself, regardless of what the activity is, in Declan's eyes, that's him going out by himself, which is self-care for Bobby. If I'm going out away from Declan and not bringing him, usually it's because it's some form of self-care for me. I might not tell him what the activity is. Like, he gets super upset when I go to church by myself and he doesn't get to come with me. So I don't always tell him I'm going to church, but I'm going to go do something for self-care, because otherwise it creates this whole big issue if I tell him I'm going to church by myself. Yep.
Battle not worth fighting. Not worth fighting.
So we generalize it. It's self-care. Mommy's got some self-care stuff going on.
Yeah, exactly. And I think they need to know the importance for me for sleep. Like, sleep is a huge form of looking after yourself, and so is healthy eating and exercise and sunshine and walking and some really great basic stuff as well. So it's, it's not that hard to try and fit it in sometimes, but actually naming it for what it is something that I need to do better at.
I'm sure that was saying it's time for mommy to go to bed does not translate to self-care at all.
Does not translate. It's time for you to go to bed so I can record a podcast, as two of them right now are in this room, one on the desk, one on the floor right there, and doesn't translate at all.
And we could be so in the moment and heated that we don't remember that we're supposed to tell them that this is self-care, so they are getting that understanding too. But, you know, how early can we really instill the value of self-care into our children too? And I think the more that we are able to plug our energy leaks and show them that that was something that actually improves us, and they can see that in us, then that might be something that they start to really get a hang of themselves too.
Yeah, I hope so.
Well, I know we still have a lot to do to learn how to talk about self-care to our kids and those conversations.
Forever teaching.
ourselves, teaching them all the kind of stuff. So, oh my goodness, this cat. So, anywho.
Yeah. So I reckon until next week.
We hope you can unstuck your muck.
Oh, absolutely. Bye for now.